Now we will hear about a deeper step of Krishna Samadhi. Samadhi is a word which appears in the context of the Ashtanga Yoga, the Eightfold Yoga system, which starts by regulating our lives through good behavior. We are told to not lie, to not steal, etc. And we are also told to study the scriptures, to practice celibacy, and so on. So this is in the beginning of the yoga stages, and then we learn how to regulate the prana, the life airs, by asanas and pranayama, and finally we come to the stage where we withdraw the senses from the material world and engage it in meditation, and the end result or fruit of meditation, that is the fruit of bringing the mind away from the material world, is samadhi or deep absorption. So in Krishna consciousness, and this is what Prabhupada said, the object of meditation is the beautiful form of Krishna, and we will today try to meditate and absorb our mind in this most enchanting form. But first I want to say, why should we want to do this? Why should we try to bring our mind away from matter and material life and rest the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna? Why? And I think Prabhupada gives a very nice reason. He says, as long as you don't do this, and you, as long as you are in conditioned life, in the material body, it is natural that one will suffer from anxieties and agonies. One just cannot avoid the influence of the material energy. This is how Prabhupada says. Even when one is on the transcendental plane, that means you are already quite advanced, you will not be able to avoid the influence of the material energy, which always inflicts three folds of misery, three types of miseries. Miseries from the body, miseries from the mind in terms of anxieties, and miseries from outside, from other living entities and natural disturbances. So you just cannot avoid it. It's sure that anyone who comes here, although he may try to live as sattvic as possible and as healthy as possible, there will be physical illnesses and mental anxieties. It is going to come. Just like you cannot put a stone into a river and expect that the stone will remain dry, you just can't expect to remain free from misery as long as you are in this material body. It has to come. Prabhupada says so nicely, the entire universe is full of miseries, and therefore the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. So miserable that you. I mean, some of you are Matajis and you shed tears more unrestricted, but also men are just feeling miseries. They may not immediately express it in terms of tears, but they also feel. So then he continues, there is a great ocean of water in this universe made from such tears. I think all of you have contributed to this ocean already a lot. But for one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean of tears is at once dried up. One need only see the charming smile of the Lord. And this is what we are going to do. We will actually meditate about the smile of the Lord. This understanding, meditate about the smile of God and your own miseries will go, is, by the way, a universal understanding. I do remember once in Cologne I attended an interreligious dialogue, and there was a Buddhist who led us in a guided meditation. At the end we were all supposed to meditate on the smile of the Buddha. So I did that. But then I thought, why Buddha? I meditate on the smile of Krishna. And as I was meditating on the smile of Krishna, Krishna started to laugh in my meditation. And I started to laugh, and everyone looked. It was not chic to laugh in the meditation, but I had... could not contain myself. And later I find out that the perfection of meditation is it is described here in that one should meditate on the laughter or smiling of Vishnu. When he smiles, his small teeth are visible, which resemble the buds of jasmine flowers. If the yogi is able to place the beautiful face of the Lord in the core of his heart, he will be completely satisfied. In other words, when one is absorbed in seeing the beauty of the Lord within himself, the material attraction can no longer disturb him. The way we practice this in temples is actually we have every day in the morning first the darshan of the Lord. We are supposed to look at the beauty of the Lord every morning before we do any other thing. You might take this principle into your daily life, and when you do this, you don't start a day without looking at the smile of the Lord. I have purchased from Vrindavan big pictures of Krishna's, Radha and Krishna's face, and they, on this picture, they seem to just be slightly smiling. And every day I look at them in the morning. When you come and visit me, you will find these pictures. I've purchased them. They are very wonderful. So I would love to now start the meditation in all seriousness, but I see good morning. what is? I will read something to you in this meditative stage. Because of association with the material world, the mind is covered by a heap of dirt in the form of desires to lord it over material nature. This dirt is like a mountain, but a mountain can be shattered when hit by a thunderbolt. Meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord acts like a thunderbolt on the mountain of dirt in the mind of the yogi. If someone wants to shatter the mountain of dirt in his mind, he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal. You can now open your eyes, and you will see the lotus feet of Krishna. If you see on the left side, Krishna's right foot, yes, thank you, there is a thunderbolt. Do you see where the sign is, the arrow is? This mark proves that meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna smashes to pieces the mountains of a devotee's karmic reactions to past sin. Whoever holds on to Krishna's lotus feet becomes as exalted as Lord Indra, whose weapon is the thunderbolt. So, just like a mountain can be shattered to pieces by a thunderbolt, the material dirt in the heart of the living entity can be easily crashed if we meditate on these beautiful lotus feet. How do you like this photo? It has some, it speaks to us, isn't it? So by meditating, these different symbols will become active in our life. For instance, do you see here is the fish on the sole of Krishna's left feet. There is the fish at the heel. Do you see? This means that the devotee's mind is like a fish. And then he can only become satisfied if he meditates on the water of the lotus feet of Krishna. Your fish-like mind is only satisfied there, in this place. It also means that Krishna's lotus feet only come into the heart of a devotee who is not dry. Only the devotee who is not dry, who doesn't have a dry heart, but a very fertile heart, will actually be able to have the lotus feet of Krishna in his feet, in his mind. So we will now do this. There is a meditation which is from the Bhagavatam, and I would really love you to go into this meditation. Are you ready? Are you tired? Otherwise, I would do Kshatriya Yoga with you. All right. Wer übersetzt eigentlich vom Englischen ins Deutsche? Darf ich mal sehen, mit wem ich da zusammenarbeite? Damodar Priya, Hare Krishna. Gut. I would recommend for this meditation one of two things. Some of you are liking to meditate, others of you just like to hear. That is also good. If you don't want to close your eyes because you feel if I close my eyes I might become inattentive, that's all right. Huh? That's all right. Govalish, are you ready for meditation? Good. Before we meditate, we will show you another slide of Krishna. Is that... Oh, of Krishna's lotus feet. Wonderful. When we meditate about Krishna's lotus feet, it may be a picture like this one. This is taken from Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. Can you understand when you, when a yogi is just, or a devotee is just thinking about it? You know, why do we make so much out of Krishna's lotus feet, you might ask? The explanation is simple. It shows a lot of intimate relationship. You know, usually the feet are considered to not be so important in a person's life. I would never, you know, when I meet Ratnabhushan Bhushan, I would not press his feet immediately. I would maybe take his hands, or I would embrace him. But usually the feet are also covered with dust, or there is maybe some gentleman smell in the feet, you know. So we don't usually concentrate so much on the feet, but Krishna's feet are different. To relate to the feet first means really surrender. Srila Prabhupada, he says, in the Bhagavatam, it says, in fixing one's mind on the eternal form of the Lord, the yogi should not take a collective view, that means everything at once, of all his limbs. No, he should fix the mind first on each individual limb of the Lord. And one should begin his meditation on the Lord's form by seeing his feet and then gradually looking upward. You know, that is because you surrender. You surrender at the feet. You throw yourself down, dandavat, and then you are closest to the feet. Also, I heard another explanation, which I like very much. We sometimes like to imagine the spiritual world in terms of a spatial reality, and that is that the spiritual world is above us. So what is most down in the spiritual world is closest to us. You know, when Krishna, when we are, let's say, above us, there is someone is walking, then his feet are most closest to us. So when we are wanting to connect with Krishna, we naturally connect with that which is closest to us, his feet. But really, the image of the feet is invoked as a sign of surrender. And then we will move upwards in the beautiful form of the Lord. And at the end, we will sing to him our heart. Hare Krishna. This is between our music team. Huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yeah. So this is a little bit how we will go, and you can just see we will leave this picture here, so that if some of you like to keep their eyes open, or sometimes in between open the eyes, you have this wonderful photo of Krishna. It's a very nice photo of Krishna. We must thank our Vanunandini for bringing this photo to us this morning. It's very nice. Krishna. Can you also see the earrings of Krishna? They are there, they reflect some light. That and the golden ornaments of Krishna. How around his waist there is a red and gold, there's a red waistband, but it is embroidered with gold decoration. His beautiful yellow dhoti, and then he has this little shawl. Do you see it, sir? Around the arms, and it goes around the back. That is his beautiful shawl. And he has different ornaments from jewels and so on. And there is one ornament that is on his chest. Do you see the lower one? There's a golden brush, and then in the midst a red. That's the Kostuba jewel. And you can see this picture shows very nicely that the love which is there in his heart, he expresses that in his through his flute, like we heard yesterday. This morning, the flute are like his devotees. He gives his love into the heart of his devotees, like someone gives his music and his breath into a flute, and then he enjoys more Krishna. And through meditation, this picture, which is outside of us, will come inside of us and will start to purify our heart. So, okay. Please look around. Just so that you feel safe. Maybe move the body a little bit, because I will soon ask you to sit down. I think we can leave the window open. Is it not too cold, Anandavaram? No? Good. So that we have... Try to sit in an upright position. If you sit on chairs, that is fine. The idea is just that the spine should be straight, if possible. And then start to breathe in and out regularly. Breath is life. Sri Krishna says, Pranosmi, I'm the prana in the air. When you are ready, please close your eyes, or if you prefer to have your eyes open, that is also fine, as you like. Concentrate your whole attention on a moment, for a moment, on your in and outgoing breath. When you breathe in, say to yourself, in. And when you breathe out, say to yourself, out. On each inhale, say to yourself, in. On each exhale, say to yourself, out. You will ask Neil to close the door so that there is no noise coming from the house. Now, I request you to focus your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, like you have seen earlier on the screen. From the lotus feet of the Lord, and slowly move your vision upwards. First, there are the ankles of the Lord, Fußknöcheln. Then, as you go upper, the Dhoti starts. You move up to the Dhoti. Now you come to the moon-like navel of the Lord. You see the arms, you see the broad chest of the Lord. The flower garland. Different ornaments. You go up and you see the face of the Lord, the prominent nose, the crystal clear cheeks. the glittering earrings. The curling hair, locks of hair, then look at the lotus eyes of the Lord, and his compassionate glance. It is said that this glance, which is frequently cast by the Lord's eyes, soothes the most fearful agonies of the devotees. Those glances accompanied by loving smiles are full of the abundant grace of the Lord. In his mind eye, can meditate on the compassion of Krishna, that although we have been so long separated from him, Krishna is so compassionate that he appears in this world as the holy name. And in his compassion, the Lord has arranged holy scriptures with his own words, like the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. And with his compassion, the Lord has come in this deity form just to make a contact with you. It is recommended, writes Prabhupada, that the yogis first study Krishna's smile very carefully, his compassionate smile. These particular descriptions of meditation on the smile, laughter, the face, the lips, show us that God is not impersonal. It is described herein that one should meditate on the laughter or smiling of the Lord. There is no other activity that can completely cleanse the heart of the devotee. So we will now move from this meditation into singing the Lord's holy name, but before I request you to express a prayer to Krishna in your mind, just pray to Krishna.
The devotee can pray like this: O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Friend of the helpless, You are the only ocean of mercy. Because I have not met You, my inauspicious days and nights have become unbearable. I really do not know how I shall pass my time without You. Or one can pray, O Syama, You look like countless gods of love put together. Your face conquers the moon. Your eyebrows are curved like arches and thus resemble bows that shoot the arrows of your glances. Your smile pours out abundant honey. Your toenails are so radiant that it seems that they are reflecting the moon on your face. It is only natural that my heart moves quicker. Krishna may answer, O friend, I am keeping a big storehouse of nectar for you. You alone have rights to it. Long ago you rejected me and you fell under the spell of my energy of illusion. I never gave up my appreciation for you. Now you are back. Serve my ever fresh pleasurable form and play with me in the endless ocean of bliss. Do not fear and do not lament. You have now attained the eternal life of bliss. For me, you have given up all material attachments. I will never be able to repay the depths of your love which you have shown to me. Please now be satisfied in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Kuba, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radha Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radha Premanandi Hari 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 Bo.
Hare Krishna, who of you offers his food or her food? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Mandaleshwari, you don't understand. Who of you offers his food?
Food.
Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking, what is wrong with Mandaleshwari? Let me tell you about an absent-minded offering and an absorbed offering. Absent-minded, you just cooked it and you really are hungry and you... And yes, and I know I should offer this food. I mean, does it really make a difference? But okay, that's what they do when they are devotees. Let me put it here. Cling, 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 cling. Oh, I hope this... Why do these mantras never end? I guess one time through is also all right. Maybe why over three times? Who anyway said three times? Prabhupada didn't say it three times. Oh, no, he said. Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Namo, namo. What was the word again? Vishnu. Yes, Vishnu, Vishnu. Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutali. Pain. I survived another offering. Let's eat now. Cut. Let us go to an absorbed offering. Once there was a devotee. He had an atheistic brother. Both of them were farmers. And... They had to do work on the field. They had one horse and they were riding on the horse, and on the back of the horse they had a basket with the different rotis, sabjis, and a clay pot full with dal. They came to the field. Sorry. Talking about food. They came to the field and they did their work until 1 o'clock in the noontime. And then it was time for the midday pause and for eating. So this devotee brother takes the basket and says, I know my brother doesn't like if he sees that I'm offering, So let me just go to that nearby tree there, and in the shade of the tree I will just offer everything. And my brother is still on the field. He works for 10 more or 15 more minutes, and then I will it's offered, and we will take the prasadam of the Lord. Mother will have cooked something very nice. So this devotee brother takes the basket from where he put it. His other brother is still engaged in the field working, and he goes to the tree a little distant, and he offers the food in his mind. He takes the cloth away from the food, and it is there, the rotis, the clay pot full of dal, sabji. Closes his eyes and he says, my dear Lord, I'm offering this food to you, which has been cooked by mother, and please accept. He says all the mantras. In the meantime, his brother, who's there sweating on the field, sees, where's my other brother? He doesn't see him, so he goes to where the food was, because he has a suspicion and the food basket is missing. Oh no, this idiot is offering food, the food. I have to eat it. He never asked me. I find him. So he takes a stick while he walks, a little stick. And he goes and looks around and he sees that shade in the distance, and there, oh yes, there is his brother sitting meditating. So he comes close to the brother and he sees that the brother's eyes are closed and his lips are moving. Oh Krishna, please accept this food. Amo Brahmanya Devaya Govamana Hitaya. And somehow this invokes his anger. Don't know if you have heard, but when atheistic people see devotees engaged in religious activities, somehow they become upset and agitated. Have you heard or seen? They just don't like that. So he just cannot control himself, and he just takes that stick and just starts to beat on his brother on the head. At the same time where he beats, he sees that the rotis start to fly. Rotis are like chapatis, that is a flat bread. He sees, bang, the clay pot breaks as if beaten by a stick. He has not beaten the brother, the food he wants to eat. He has beaten the brother. And everything flies, and he understands that this offering of his brother is an absorbed offering. The brother in his mind saw the food and saw how he gave it to Krishna. And when he beat his brother on the head, he was actually beating the food, and it was flying all over the field. The dal went into the earth, the sabji went into the earth, everything was, the chapatis were ripped in two. And he understood, oh no, there really is a Lord. There really is an offering. It is a reality. It is a spiritual reality. I have done wrong. And he goes to his brother, says, I'm sorry, and he excuses himself profusely. I will never ever disturb you again in your offering. My dear devotees, there is a difference in offering. You can absorb your mind in the mantras, you can absorb your mind in what you do, you can offer it to Krishna and it will be accepted. But if you don't, it will not be accepted so nicely. So this, what we are learning here in this part of the seminar, is we learn to absorb our minds in what we do in relationship to Krishna. When you learn to be absorbed in the relationship to Krishna, you will notice many, many things which a whole new world will open to you, the world of absorption. Krishna only wants to see that we are really absorbing ourselves, that we take him as a real person and that we engage with him in a real way. And because we cannot yet see Krishna with these eyes, our only chance is to do that in our mind, to take Krishna seriously in our mind, to think of Krishna seriously while we are engaged in devotional practices. There is a wonderful temple in Alarnath. It's about 15 kilometers away from the town of Jagannath Puri, where this was shown in a very graphic way. There was this Brahmana who was every day offering his food to Krishna, but he also did it with the idea that, okay, we have to do it like this so that we can eat. One day he was not able to offer because he had to do a yajna in another village, and he told his little boy Madhu, can you just go and offer the food during the day? So Madhu did it. He went with a plate which his mother had given him to the altar, and he prayed to the Lord, my dear Lord, please accept this bhoga. And the Lord didn't move. After 5 minutes, the boy said, I don't know the mantra so well, but, you know, please forgive me. You need to eat. You are hungry. If you don't eat now, you will be so hungry in the night. So he waited. He went out of the altar room and he came back after 15 minutes. Still the Lord hadn't touched anything of the preparations. My Lord, why are you so much dependent on rules and regulations? You know, I'm a boy. What do I know? Please eat. Sit down here. So the Lord then after said, how can I sit down? I'm made from marble. No, from granite. It was from granite. How can I do this? Ah, said the boy, if you can talk, you can also sit down, no? So the Lord very carefully sat down. As we heard today, he was conquered by the love of his devotees. And he ate. So when Madhu came out of the altar room with the plates, they were empty. His mother asked, where's the Maha? No Maha today. Lord has eaten everything. He's very hungry. So the mother thought, my boy is such a good boy. Strange. So in the evening, the hungry husband came. When one is out all day and has not eaten, one is very hungry when one comes in the evening. Do you know this? One could eat everything, the door, one could start with the door. You know, one is so hungry. So he came, where is Prasadam? His wife said, no Prasadam. Madhu said, the Lord ate it all. What? He never eats. He can't eat. He's made from marble or stone. So when Madhu didn't give him food, when there was no food, that man, that Brahmana, began to chastise and beat his boy. He was beating him severely, but the Lord didn't tolerate it. In the evening he sent a heavy rainstorm and the temple was breaking in two pieces, and the Brahmana went to the altar and said, my Lord, he's just a boy, forgive him. The Lord said, you got it all wrong. He was the first one who offered his food with love to me. He was the first one who thought, I can eat his food. You have always offered, but you never thought, I can eat it. I will leave this bad place where my devotees are beaten. There's only one condition under which I stay, and that is if from now on Maru offers, not you. I don't want to have food from you. I'm not hungry when you offer. Brahmana corrected his ways. So when you offer, this is a very good way. I recommend all of you to offer your food with full Krishna consciousness. And at that time, you should make use of this seminar, of this day. Don't forget this day, where you have tried to absorb your mind in Krishna and taken Krishna personally. That is a very good exercise in bhakti. During the offering, you should see that he is there and taking your food. During your chanting, you should also absorb your mind in Krishna and see that he is there. Maybe you notice sometimes in the evening there is a good atmosphere in the temple room when we sing all together. Do you know why this atmosphere is there and why you don't want to go and why you think it's good? It's because you take Krishna personally. You think he is there. It is there. And that makes all the difference. Absent-mindedness in bhakti will not bring you much result. You have to be present-minded in bhakti, and you have to focus your attention and your absorption on Krishna. And that's why we do these exercises. If you want to read about this meditation about Krishna, there is a very nice book which I always like to recommend to devotees. It's called Unveiling His Lotus Feet. I have it before me. On page 634, there are these wonderful quotations which you have heard in your meditation. 634, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. My life has personally changed when I began to understand this point, that Krishna is real and I can think about him about like a real person. But it's very interesting what Prabhupada says in the end. He says, yogis take advantage of the process of smaranam or meditation, whereas bhakti yogis, that's us, take special advantage of the process of hearing and chanting. So, in our process of meditation, we had a fantastic meditation, Gaurangi. Tomorrow we will have again. Welcome, Gaurangi has arrived. So, in that meditation which we do as devotees, we very much like to chant Krishna's holy name, and while we chant, we are mindful of the person whose name we chant. That is very much what we do. In my Krishna Samadhi seminar, I only want to really bring you to an experience of visualizing Krishna in your mind, so that you can use this during your chanting practice to your maximum of benefit. All right, I want to stop here and see if you have any questions regarding to what you have heard today or done today. There's Madhavi Saki, Kubalishaya Vishwakama, and Kunya Vihari. And what is your good name? Govinda Priya. Oh. Yes, so Madhavi Saki. Yes, wonderful. We will show you the lotus feet again. There are these different signs which become active once you start meditating about Krishna's lotus feet. Do you see on Krishna's right foot this upcurving line? Das ist Seil, was nach oben geht zwischen dem großen Zeh und dem nächsten. Geht es actually nach unten? Ja. Ja, can you see? This line signifies, Madhavi Sakhi, it's my favorite meditation, that just like a person who has been, who has fallen into a well can be saved by a rope, which is put down, we can be saved by the rope on Krishna's lotus feet and lifted out of the well of material existence. It also means, just like a rope extends from up to down, it comes from up to down, Krishna's lotus feet are so kind that even though we are down here in the material world, Krishna comes and saves us. In this way, there are explanations for each one of the signs. I also like this. The many signs. I like the chakra. Do you see the umbrella? Just like you are safe, Madhavi Sakhi, when you are in the rain under an umbrella, you are safe from the miseries of material existence when you meditate about the lotus feet of Krishna. When you visit me in Gora Bhavan, I have big lotus feet everywhere. I like to think the whole everywhere about the lotus feet and so on. If you want to know what are the different markings, all the markings, there is a very wonderful booklet out which I recommend for you. I think Siam Nam has a few more copies of this. You can ask Beg Siam Nam of this. It's called Sri Sri Radha Govinda Meditations, Divine Forms and Lotus Feet, and it is published by His Holiness Mahanidhi Maharaj. You should maybe give Siam Nam some sweets and then. Good. If we sit here and talk about everything, we would have many hours of discussion. Once there was a lady, this is a new story, who went to marriage on a rickshaw. She was dressed in her gold ornaments, and all of a sudden, the rickshaw driver drives with her into the fields, and she knows the rickshaw-wala will first satisfy his evil desires, then he will murder me and then rob all the gold. So this lady knows, says to the rickshaw, not in the field, that this is the right path. And she says, no, I know a shortcut. the lady gets like, what if I jump from the rickshaw, he will get me. What to do, my life is finished. And the rickshaw driver really has a very evil vibration. And so the lady finally jumps off the rickshaw and runs and runs and says, Krishna, 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 save me. Krishna, you have appeared to destroy all demonic elements, and on your toes there is a spear and the bow. Please save me. And she jumps finally into a well to save her life. So next morning, in that village, this is a true story, the people go to the field. You know what they do in the field? digestion, you know, or the end product of the digestion goes on the fields, you know. They sit in the morning, they sit on the side of the road and they talk to each other. And, you know, it's very natural in India. Du verstehst? Die machen das große Geschäft, zu Deutsch gesagt. Ne? Ja. So two men are there, just waiting, you know, and talking. All of a sudden, they hear from a nearby well, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So they quickly finish, they dress appropriately, and they go to the well, and they look in the well, and they see a lady. She sits in the water, and she says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then they look a little bit further, and they see a rickshaw. And next to the rickshaw, they see a rickshaw man. He's lying on the ground, and they can see a snake has bitten him. He's dead. So this shows you how the lotus feet of the Lord can protect a person in great danger. It works. They're very active lotus feet. I think on this picture we feel great confidence. They seem to just beam, you know. So realistic. Hare Krishna. Ja, aber ich habe jetzt vergessen. Kuvali Shaya Vishwakarma.
In terms of absorption of the Lord, like during kirtan or even while leading the kirtan, I've experienced where I lose the absorption and it's just, I become aware I'm just making sounds.
Yeah.
And being the leader of the kirtan, it's kind of like, there's even a little extra pressure to
be absorbed. Yeah.
Absorb, yeah. And so in that particular circumstance, if you have some guidance.
I'm very happy for your question. When you do kirtan and you lose the absorption, especially when you are leader, it's bad. What devotees can do is various things which connect them with Krishna. For instance, you could see yourself doing your kirtan in a temple for the pleasure of deities. You can bring your mind there. Or while you do the chanting, you could all of a sudden chant, meditate about the meaning of the mantra. Chanting means that you must make the sound vibration, and then at the same time Jiva Goswami says mantrata chintanam, meditate about the meaning of the mantra. Some kirtaniyas I have seen are having photos of when they do kirtan of the deities, you know, and they put them up, understanding that I will sing for you. These things help, and also simple praying. I always do something when I become dry in the chanting and my mind is gone, and I notice there's no Krishna conscious atmosphere. Everyone is still singing but not yet connecting with Krishna. Then what I do is I just pray to Krishna, please Krishna appear in this dry kirtan, you know, please appear. I just very simply turn to Krishna. And I also pray very honestly. I say, my heart is full with so many things, but these are first class devotees. Please, Krishna, if you can just touch their hearts in Krishna consciousness. And then all of a sudden, everyone is, they close their eyes and they clap, and you know you have nothing to do with it. It's Krishna who moves. I just pray honestly what is there. Yeah, but this disconnected kirtan is a torture, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, when we have these long kid, I'm like 2 hours. I'm already singing since 8 hours, and now my term comes from 8 to 10 hours. Oh. And then the last 10 minutes, each mantra is... And I notice this happens when I'm tired. Everything becomes tiresome when you're just tired. And many times if I would ask Bhakta Nur, your name is Nur? Nui. Nui, how did you like this presentation? You would say, out of politeness, very good, but it must have been a torture because I saw you falling asleep. I counted 11 and a half times. So when we are tired, everything is just a torture. You know, even eating is a torture when you're tired. So this may be sometimes the reason also. But the main idea is connect while you do kirtan. What the great devotees do, they connect with two images which are given in the Sanat Kumar Samhita. They approach Krishna under a Kalpa Briksha tree in Vrindavan. You know, they see him surrounded on the outer circle by the gopas, and then they come closer. In the inner circle is the gopis, and then it goes inner until they see Radha Krishna. Or they see the scene which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, that is Krishna taking with the gopis a wonderful bath in the Jamuna. That's very nice when you chant the holy name. These are actually the meditations recommended when doing the chanting, if that helps. Kunya Vihari.
During the meditation, I got one question. What is the color of the eyes of Krishna, and what's the story behind that?
Krishna's eyes are the color Krishna's eyes are dark, but around it is the color of the Aruna. That is, when the sun rises in the morning, it's pinkish. You know, the sky is pinkish. You know, so that reddish color is in the corners of the eyes of Krishna. And yeah, but otherwise his eyes are dark, but there is a golden shimmer in the eyes. And Radharani's eyes are blue because she always looks at Krishna. I once heard in Germany you say Engel sind blind, angels are blind. What this means is they don't see the world, they only see God. They're blind to the world. So Radharani is blind to everything else than Krishna. When Radharani appeared, I don't know if you know this secret. She was very beautiful, but she was blind. She didn't see. Her eyes was closed. The same was with Balaram. His eyes were closed, and he also didn't speak. Only when they came to the world, only when Krishna, as a little boy, once came to the house of Radharani. At that time, Krishna, you know, crawled over the floor and came to the vige, the cradle, and with his little hands he was moving up the cradle and then looking into the cradle. And at that moment, Radharani opened her eyes and saw Krishna. Because she had said, the first person, I will only appear in this dark material world if the first person whom I see is you, Krishna. So Krishna's eyes are dark, but on the rims they are pinkish. Why they are pinkish, I don't know. Some things are just the way they are. Once Krishna asked Yashoda, why am I so black? I'm supposed to have been born from you, but you are bright colored and I'm black. You know, this never happens. You know, a dark boy doesn't come from bright parents. So, I don't think I'm your son. I'm the son of someone else. No, said Yashoda. You're my son. You are black because you were born in a very dark night. And the first milk you were given was from very dark black cows. The Padmaganda cows. So Krishna liked this explanation and believed it. But I don't know if this is a logical explanation. So some things are just the way they are. There are different explanations, of course. It says the color of the greatest amount of love is dark blue. This is color science in Ayurveda, you know. So that color is the color of Krishna. The greatest love. You know, like Goethe made his Farbenlehre, so the Ayurveda also has the knowledge of the colors. Good. I'm so. Govinda Priya. My, good. Last question, yes.
It is difficult for a devotee to absorb himself to give deeper because the fact that this devotee is doing much practical service. Could he at the end or she at the end get the same result as those devotees who absorb themselves in
Yes, if this devotee learns one practical thing in his practical or her practical service, tell the devotee it's a Mataji or a boy. It's Hare Krishna. Tell yourself that when you do your service, for whom are you doing it? The moment you know for whom you are doing the service and not just acting. See, some of us are really very much active oriented. It's in our genes. We are just active, mode of passion, and so on. Just when we are like this, stop and say, for whom am I doing this? And the moment you ask this question, that is when you start to absorb yourself in devotional service. It makes a difference. This is not for me, it's from Jiva Goswami or Sridhar Swami. I'm not so sure at this moment, I have to look it up again, that devotional service means that we are at the beginning of what we do thinking this is for Krishna. And you will see some then absorption will come with all your activities. It's one sentence which you have to put before. That's not too difficult. And absorption in Krishna, once you know, oh, I'm doing this for Krishna, you will find out, oh, I like to know more about this person whom I'm serving. Then I can do it better. And then you will read more about Krishna and hear more about Krishna. See, absorption is not the result of a technique. We do a few things just to show devotees what it means to think of Krishna. But absorption is the result of hearing a lot of Krishna. Then you will think of him a lot. Thank you so much. Now we have to stop. I thank you so very much. I see you back at 7 o'clock in the temple room. Some of you will do the yoga program. It starts now at 1 o'clock. So please let us, those who want to do yoga, please go there. And for those who want to remember the different sign of Krishna, go to Siam Nam and beg, borrow, or the book and make photocopies. Hare Krishna.